Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the ball. The lob. Let's go!
Hey. Right, let me read what you got for the right end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That sounds like a good starting point. To talk about, the Wizard team. Just what Gallo's return, Tato's just return mean. The West standings were pretty crazy. I think what you got is good. Talk a little bit about, it seems like Doc has settled on rotations a little bit. Obviously, Tato's returning will throw that off.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like he's settled for Harrell and Jamil over Decker and Reed.
Yeah.
We could talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
But, I think that's pretty good. I mean, just talk about the games.
Sweet.
Gallinari, excitement for Tay Dosich, and then, tank, no tank, what the Clippers should do, like what they will do. Probably a little bit about the schedule, upcoming schedule, too.
That'll
be a pretty big factor.
Okay, you want to put out some questions out there, too?
No, for sure. Here. What was their other game this week? Oh, this is the other game against Minnesota. I completely forgot about that game, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game in its entirety, but we can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's really even, that much to say. There were a few things, but it wasn't, as notable. It's basically, what we've been seeing this entire time that Blake and Donar have been out.
Oh, man, the schedule is going to be crowded over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're they've played two or three less games than a lot of NBA teams. They're 24 right now.
Yeah.
Jazz have played 27 of the Pelicans.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, man, the next 2 weeks is going to be 2-3 games and 4 night stretches. Oh, my God, it's going to be bad. There's 5 games and 7 nights. Holy crap, this is going to be pretty rough.
Yeah, some of these are pretty tough games, too. We'll see. There are a few towards the end of the month that could be that the Clippers should probably win, but there are some real rough ones in here, too.
Yeah.
A lot of this just depends on when exactly Blake comes back, I guess, which we. But this it could be pretty brutal. And then the start of January, we have two games against Golden State in 4 days, which are just, I mean, those are losses. So.
Yeah, man. Yep. Okay, let's get started. Seems like we have enough to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna get the music going.
Place where I want to start and finish my career. A long drought, a lot of unfinished business here.
What's up, everyone? It's the Love, the Jam, the podcast, coming fresh off Lou Williams' game winner against the Washington Wizards. And the Clippers are actually in an interesting position right now. They're not quite out of it, not really quite in it, just kind of stuck in the middle. And we're here trying to question where they should go next and if there's a lot of impending doom on the coming schedule in the next couple of weeks. I'm here with Rob, as always. How you doing, Rob?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I am well. I was listening to Kevin Arnovitz's podcast with Zach Lowe, and he makes it a point to say that he's well to start every podcast. And then Lowe, being the son of a teacher, kind of ripped off that for a while. So maybe I'm going to try and start saying that, because I always say I'm good, even though it's not the best English. Anyways, but somebody that was pretty precise was Lou Williams, who swished a three-pointer about 30 feet away from that beloved right angle of his to win the game last night against the Washington Wizards, 112-113. Kind of a weird ending to what was a very entertaining game, a super back-and-forth game. What do you want to talk about those last couple of minutes, Rob, really quick before we touch on the game in its entirety?
So I'm very happy the Clippers won. In a way, they got lucky and unlucky. Lucky in the sense that the Wizards kind of got fortunate and got screwed at the same time with that last call. The clock clearly started before Beal got the basketball, and it also seemed to run a little bit quick when he did get it. So in one sense, yeah, the Wizards deserved a repeat. On the other hand, if they'd just gone strictly by, would he have gotten the shot off anyway, even with that? The answer is no. It was like a second too late. But then once they got the ball back, they stuck the Wizards in the corner and took off like a tenth of a second, which not a ton, but it's a little bit. So the Wizards clearly had no idea what to do out of that corner position, and Jordan's arms were just everywhere, and they couldn't get a decent shot off. So it was good because on the original play, even though Beal got the shot off late, it was completely clean. The Clippers, he got wide open, and having Beal open for the game winner is just not good defensive strategy. But yeah, it was a very entertaining game until that last, 5 minutes of just reviewing. Lou Williams, the story is really Lou Williams, and to a lesser extent Austin Rivers just being clutch as they've really been for a lot of the year. The Clippers have blown a lot of close games, but it hasn't really been due to lack of clutch shooting. It's more been due to like unfortunate turnovers and really bad defense at bad times. So
yeah,
Lou Williams has just been making important shots the entire season. I'm glad he got a little bit more recognition from national media after 35 points and a game winner against a good team. But yeah, it was really entertaining. Rivers hit that three and I was super excited. And then Beal came back with the and one. Just the Clippers' defense on that play was horrible. And then Lou hit a three against pretty good defense by Beal. It would have been a little bit interesting if they'd put a longer player like Oubre or Porter on him. It would have been tougher to get the shot off. They also might have been able to blow by him, whereas he couldn't really get by Beal. So it was interesting. But yeah, it was just a fun game. It was a really fun game. It's one of the more enjoyable ones I've seen in a while. And I know we both are like the Wizards a fair amount too, so it was fun to watch the Clippers play against them, even without John Wall. I had a really good time. It was great for the Clippers to get a win, though.
It was a really fun game. I definitely appreciated that Lou got some credit because he's pretty much the Jamal Crawford I've always wanted. He's been fantastic. Austin, of course, was great. He was great early in the first half. I think he hit like three or four of his threes. He had a bunch of them early on in the game and seemed like he was on his way to another really great night, but he kind of cooled down a little bit. And Lou pretty much took the torch from him in the third quarter, kept the Clippers above water after the Wizards made their push. And yeah, it's always great to watch the Wizards. The Wizards probably might be my second favorite team out East now, maybe secondary to the Sixers, who I'm pretty sure is everybody's favorite team out East, just because Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are so much fun to watch. But I still have a soft spot for Brad Beal and John Wall, and I love Otto Porter Jr. It's always fun to watch them play. I also like Mike Scott, and they're just a fun team. And that, I don't know how good Satoransky is, but man, that dude was all over the place last night. Jeez. I don't know if maybe a lot of Juwan Evans being on him made him more all over the place than he would normally be. But yeesh. And he had a nice little stat line too, 11-6-6. Shot well. Nice player. But that was a fun game. It's nice to get a win. And it kind of leaves us in this interesting spot out west. So what do you think about this 9-15 Clipper team, Rob?
Well, it's interesting because on one hand, they've been unhealthy literally the entire season except for the first game because Tatum just got injured in the first or second quarter of the second game, and it's just been all downhill from there. So on one hand, I think 9-15 is not that bad considering the amount of injuries they've had. On the other hand, while they are only one loss back of eighth, which is crazy, they're one loss back of Utah for eighth. They are four wins back, because Utah has played a lot more games, but
yeah,
it's really not that out of reach. It's overall 2.5 games in the standings. On the other hand, they're only 3.5 games out of 15th ahead of Dallas. I don't think they're going to fall that far, especially now that guys are coming back. They're just a better team than Dallas, Memphis, Sacramento, or Phoenix. So I think they're locked into at least 11th, barring even further injuries, collapses. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. But it's really tough because the big X factor in the West right now is Oklahoma City, because they're 12-13 and I thought they were on the streak. They've only won one in a row. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They've looked slightly better, but they've mixed in some really bad performances with some better ones. They have a lot of talent. Paul George is out right now. Carmelo and Westbrook are both having seasons like their worst season since basically their respective rookie years. And it's just tough to know if they're going to pull out, if they honestly might sell on, if they're still this bad in like 15 or 20 games, do they sell on George or Anthony maybe to try to get younger and keep retooling around Westbrook? It's really hard to know. Do they all of a sudden, like, as you said, in the Arnovitz low pod, Arnovitz thought that they could rattle off 10 or 11 out of 12 or 13 games, and all of a sudden that puts them right back into the middle of the Western playoff picture. So basically, they're the big wild card. If they don't do well, I think the Clippers have a pretty decent chance at making a run. If not, it gets a lot tougher. But, I mean, I kind of like the way the team is looking. Outside of a few really bad losses here and there, the one to Dallas particularly comes to mind. The Clippers have really either won games or lost games by a not too bad margin over the past few weeks. And Doc Rivers has finally worked out a rotation. He will have to tweak it when Milos Teodosic comes back tomorrow, but he's finally decided on Montrezl Harrell over Willie Reed, which I think is the correct decision. And Jamil Wilson over Sam Dekert, backup power forward, which I also think is the correct decision. Harrell brings a lot more energy than Reed does. And Jim Wilson brings a ton more shooting and just overall athleticism than Decker. So I like those two decisions. Teodosic coming back does throw the guard situation out of whack a little bit. But I think the Clippers are finally starting to get into kind of rhythm and into set identities and roles. So if Teodosic comes back and he's pretty healthy and Gallinari continues to look like he did in that Wizards game where he was offensively, at least. Defense was a bit shaky, but if those two guys are back and healthy, I think the Clippers could be a 500 or maybe even above 500 team. I mean, Lou Williams and Austin Rivers are playing amazing basketball right now offensively, and I like the way the team is playing. They've had a few real stinkers, which I think colors people's opinions of them, but I think on the whole, they've been relatively competitive this year, and the return of Teodosic should only help that. And it really could also help get DJ more involved, which can only be a good thing, really.
Yeah, for sure. And the team looks good. The team has very few clunkers this season, which I think is saying something. They're 9-15. You would imagine that they've been blown out a few times or not competitive, but that's absolutely not the case. The team's been competitive in practically all their games, the handful of exceptions. So I also like what Doc is doing with the rotations. I think Harrell has shown to be more energetic. Willie Reed is a nice player. He's a nice, stable player. You know what you're getting from him. But Harrell kind of infuses the second unit with a lot of energy that Reed just doesn't quite do. And it's tough because they're both pretty good players. They're both top 10 players probably on this Clipper team. But Harrell just right now has the upper end. And it's nice to see players like Juwan Evans and Darius Thornwell still carve up some minutes. Juwan Evans was particularly nice in the first half yesterday, mm-hmm. made some nice shots, hit a couple of threes. You know, defensively, it's still kind of rough. You know, he's long, but he's so small. It's just tough, really tough for just those smaller guys to really develop their niche defensively. But he's picking up guys full court. I love the effort we're constantly seeing from him. He's moving his feet right. The guy seems like a vet out there some half of the time, especially offensively. He has all these nice little jerky moves, little pass fakes or stutter steps, and makes him seem like he's beyond his years. I really like Juwan Evans. And Thornwell, you know, defensively, he's always there, but he had one really awful air ball yesterday. That was off by about a foot. And I kind of couldn't believe how badly you missed it. He's going to have to get back to the gym and work on those threes, because if he can't hit those threes, it's going to make him harder and harder to play. Jamil Wilson is playing great. I think absolutely he should be a rotation guy at this point, especially until Blake comes back. Just kind of like Evans, he just seems to know his spots on the floor and doesn't really overexert himself. Seems like a decent help defender defensively, and doesn't seem like he'll get backed down just by anybody. Has a nice frame, knows where to go on offense, doesn't like over dribble or do anything stupid. I kind of like Jamil Wilson. He's playing really well. Didn't hit any threes last night, but we know he has them in him. So had a nice dunk. So
Yeah,
really nice. Yeah, one of those dunks where he just kind of knew where to go and knew what the defense was, how the defense was reacting. Just, just makes some nice heady plays with a couple of dribbles. Doesn't really, you know, go out of his range. Kind of like how Wes Johnson, whenever Wes Johnson used to play it on the floor, I would be freaked out because he would have no idea where he was going. Jamil Wilson is kind of the opposite of that. Puts it on the floor and he's either going straight to the basket or he's making a nice pass. Nice player. It's nice to see him playing well. So the rotations are kind of getting ironed out. Let's talk a little bit about Gallinari. He had his best game yesterday. Yeah. So how did you feel about Danilo yesterday?
So on one hand, it was just great to see him moving well out there, getting to the free throw line. His talent doesn't look as great as you might remember him playing. 8 of 19 shooting, which is solid. It's not great. 2 of 7 from 3. His legs still don't look completely under him. Key there was getting 7 to the free throw line 7 times, and he's going to make them. So he's 7 of 7. A couple rebounds. His rebounding has been not very good this year, which is a little disappointing. I think he's just a little slow to the ball right now, but he had a nice pass or two. His defense it's not horrible, but it's not good either. I will say, though, that he was going up against Markieff Morris yesterday, who looked like he'd gone out way too late the night before or done something. Because he looked absolutely horrible. He started and only played 16 minutes because he was that bad. And Kelly Oubre, who we both like a decent amount, also was really bad yesterday. He just had his birthday the night before in Los Angeles. So it's possible a few of the Wizards were out partying. But he was matched up against those guys a lot, and they were not playing good defense. So it was great to see him play well. I'd like to see him do it against a little bit of a defense and defensive players. But he looked more comfortable out there, which I think is just the biggest thing. He was making his moves a lot more confidently.
Yep.
He was going to the basket. He had some really nice cuts that Lou Williams mm-hmm. found him for. Just very good timing. That's great to see. So, yeah, I mean, he was good. I think it's funny that he was still a -2 on the game, even though he played really well. All the starters were minuses. Actually, everybody on the bench was a plus. A lot of that was due to Lou Williams being ridiculous. But the Clippers bench has played really well. They fit together. I mentioned this on Twitter, but the Lou Williams, Juwan Evans, Austin Rivers, Jamal Wilson lineup was out there briefly with Harrell. And that lineup should not work at all because it's a lot of minus defenders. But on offense, they looked amazing. They had three ball handlers, two guys who don't take up a lot of possessions, and Wilson and Harrell, and just are more finishers. And their defense honestly wasn't that bad. They're engaged, they're active, and those are two of the main things. I think, honestly, we're talking about rotations. I think Evans might have won out a rotation spot when Tadosic comes back over Harrell. I mean, over Thornwell, possibly, definitely over C.J. Williams, but even over Thornwell, too, because just Thornwell's defense is great, but Evans' offense is very polished, as you were talking about. So, yeah, that lineup was really good. Gallinari, I think, is still getting integrated, which makes sense. He played five games with them, got injured, and then this is only the second game back. But it was definitely a very positive game. It's probably the best or second best game he's played all season. 25 points on 19 shots is good, no question about it. And they're going to need this. They're going to need him to get to the free throw line and score and make plays as a creator. Because as long as Blake is out, he's the most reliable source of buckets, not named Lou Williams. I at the start of the season, I would have just said, period, but Lou Williams is ungodly right now, and I don't even know how to describe Lou. I legit would think about making Lou Williams like a borderline all-star candidate. That sounds blasphemous, and it won't happen in the Western Conference, like it won't. But if you drop his stats side by side with like a CJ McCollum or a Damian Lillard, I'm very curious as to how favorably they would compare for Lou. He's unguardable right now. There's really no other way to say it. And he and Gallinari definitely had some good chemistry. Lou seemingly has chemistry with everybody on the Clippers. It's crazy. I could just talk about Lou Williams for like an hour. But yeah, Gallinari was good. Tomorrow against the Raptors, he might see some of Serge Ibaka and might see some of rookie OG Anunoby, both of them good defenders in very different ways. I'm curious to see who the Raptors put on him and how he handles that. But yeah, it was a good win. It was good to see Gallinari play well. And honestly, I think everybody on the roster basically threw in something positive, which I've said more and more with the very sad exception of Sam Decker over the past couple weeks. I think even though the overall results haven't been great, I think almost everybody has been playing around what they should be in recent weeks. So I was really happy with it, and I'm excited to see how everybody plays the pay dosage back. Hopefully tomorrow, if not tomorrow, then Wednesday. But are you how excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10 for pay dosage's return?
Oh, I'm pretty excited. He should be fun. I think the Clippers are going to crater pretty hard the next couple of weeks, but I think Teodosic will bring a lot of the fun back to the team, a lot of the lobs, just a lot of the ball movement that we've been missing. The next couple of weeks are going to be pretty tough. Just since you mentioned it, CJ McCollum is, well, just kind of going off averages and rounding things up or down, averaging 21, 4, and 3 on some pretty solid splits. He's shooting 45% from the field, 44% from 3, which is crazy good, and 86% from the line. Lou Williams is averaging 20, 5, and 3, shooting 45 from the field, 40 from 3, and 90 from the free throw line. Those are pretty comparable, man. That's pretty incredible. CJ McCollum is pretty much doing what Lou Williams is doing. You know, granted, he has a little bit of different arsenal, But you got to be impressed with Lou Williams right now. And if you're not impressed with this dude, you're just not watching basketball. He is averaging some crazy stats, and he is absolutely carrying this team, especially right now with being the only other offensive option outside of Danilo Gallinari and Austin freaking Rivers. So you got to be impressed with Lou Williams. So talking about that schedule a little bit, it's pretty daunting over these next couple of weeks. Especially in terms of the number of games coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking forward at the schedule. This week we got Toronto at home on Monday. That's going to be a rough game. Toronto in LA always seems to trip up the Clippers, even in past Chris Paul years. I feel like we've had some really bad games at home against the Raptors, even during the Chris Paul era. After that's going to be the 13th at Orlando. You know, not really a gimme, not like a game that they couldn't win, but the Magic have played well. Or Aaron Gordon has had some good games against the Clippers too, and he's playing so well right now. The Wizards again on the 15th, possibly with John Wall back. And then the next day against the Miami Heat in Miami. So that's a pretty rough stretch. That's four games right there over these next week. There's also from the 13th to the 18th, there's a stretch of five games in 7 days. Then after that, there's another stretch from the 20th to the 23rd of three games in 4 nights. It's going to be a lot of games over these next couple of weeks. We have a total of 8 games in the next 2 weeks. It's going to be a lot to deal with. How do you like the Clippers forecast for these next couple of weeks, Rob?
It's tough. Toronto's very good. They've clearly been the best team in the East this year behind Cleveland and Boston. Record-wise, they're actually better than Cleveland, but, I mean, Cleveland is a better team. They're very good. Kyle Lowry has always given the Clippers problems. DeMar DeRozan has always given the Clippers problems. And for as much as the Clippers kind of struggled to guard Beal in the second half once he started hitting threes, they're even worse matchup-wise against DeRozan because while Beal's quick and super hard to guard off the ball and going to the basket, DeRozan's just so big, and the Clippers don't have any big, fast wing defenders. I mean, there aren't that many of them, but Austin Rivers is way too small. Sindarius Thornwell or CJ Williams might be the best fit size-wise, but they're also undersized on him, and, I mean, they're rookies going up against one of the better shooting guards in the NBA. They each did decent jobs against Beal, but DeRozan's probably a tougher task for them, honestly. I would expect a loss there, even with Teodosic back. At Orlando's okay. I think that's a game, if the Clippers want to make the playoffs, that's a game they should win, but it's by no means a gimme. At Washington, John Wall should absolutely be back by then. That'll be tough. Miami, I'd say could be a win, but again, back-to-back. And then you have two really brutal games coming up in the next three, which is at San Antonio, when Kawhi Leonard should be back by then, and at Houston, which is – Houston is at a Golden State level right now, which is insane. It's also the first time Chris Paul will be playing against the Clippers, and he will – I would bet money on him destroying them. Yes. So that is a tough schedule. I'd say games that they need to win in that stretch are at Orlando, at Miami, and at home against Phoenix. Because outside of that, that is 7 games. That's 3-4. That's not horrible. That's basically treading water. 4-3 would be nice if they could pull off an upset, but I don't know. I mean, they're probably not going to win both at Orlando and at Phoenix games anyway. I think 2-5 is a strong possibility as well, which would not be great. This we've been saying this for the past couple weeks, but really, I mean, any bad week or two here could really throw them down firmly into the tanking role. Any good week or two could really make them all of a sudden a likely playoff team. It's still really early, but the West is already getting a little bit stratified in terms of the rankings, and like a week or two could see the Timberwolves and the Nuggets ahead by 5 or 6 games, completely closing off those brackets, and it's tough, man. The next seven games, I'm predicting three or four would be pretty good. Five is probably more likely. We need to see how good Teodosic is, though, because, I mean, he was revolutionary in preseason. It's preseason, I know, but, I mean, he was amazing. And he could really unlock this offense to some extent. So I guess we're a wait and see on him a little bit, but he's going to have to catch up to speed. We're playing against some really good – the Clippers are playing against some really good guards in that stretch, and he is not a good defender. It's going to be tough. What were you saying about the 2-5 and 3-4?
Oh, yeah, and I think 2-5 is probably what I expect. Maybe the Magic win and maybe Phoenix the rest of these games. That Heat game seems like a game that they could win, but that's the second game of a back-to-back. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough stretch.
I wonder if Doc could punt the Wizards game. I don't. That's not a Doc thing to do, but he could rest Gallinari and Teodosic maybe, and just punt it and then have guys rested for Miami. He won't do it, but it's something Popovich might do. I don't know.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad move, but it's not something that Doc is going to do. It's going to be a rough couple of weeks. I think these next couple of weeks you're really going to see where the Clippers are and if they really want to make a move towards the playoffs. But that's a tough stretch, just in terms of number. That's even just a tough stretch. So we'll see how they can do. Mm-hmm. If they can get out of the stretch. Even if they can get through these eight games, 500 or so, which I very much doubt, but if they could get out of it 500, they'll be in a great spot, I think, because the next three games after that are fairly winnable. And, you know, Blake won't be back until at least the end of the month, beginning of the new year, most likely. But just getting through that stretch and then having three, you know, semi-gimmies against the Kings, Lakers, and at home against the Hornets, they could very much be right in the thick of things. And just three games under 500, if they can get those mm-hmm. wins with the 500 record, that would be very, very, very favorable. What else do you want to talk about this week, Rob? Anything capturing your fancy this week?
I think the interesting thing is actually not whether they can make the playoffs. It's whether they should make the playoffs. I know we talked about this a little bit before. I don't know if your opinion is different now, seeing on how weak the Western Conference looks and just your overall opinions on the Clippers and stuff. But I don't know if it's worth making a strong push for the 8 seed just to get destroyed, or the 7 seed, really. It doesn't matter, against the Warriors or Rockets, and just to get absolutely mauled by them in the playoffs. I think you can make arguments for it based on retaining fans and keeping the excitement around and not fully giving up to the Lakers in terms of fandom and the city. But I think there's a decent argument to be made that getting a better draft pick in year the Clippers actually have a first rounder in a draft where the top of the draft is absolutely loaded. And I mean, they're not going to get a top pick, but the way the lottery is moving to make it a little more equitable for teams farther down in the lottery, there's a better chance they could get a top pick if they're in the lottery. Not great, but better than it was, substantially better than it was in years past. So it's tough, and that's something mm-hmm. An in-depth article column would need to be written on. It's still too early in the season, I think, to really write it. Maybe again by around New Year's or Christmas would be a better time, but I just don't know, because I hate watching a losing team. We watched it for so many years with these Clippers, and the joke's already starting to come out. Bill Simmons is saying it looks like the same old Clippers where they're not having fun. I completely disagree with him on that. And mm-hmm. I think there are more fans, and the fans are more into it than they were in the pre-Blake era as well. I mean, that was such a long time ago. It's really hard to remember. But there is that risk if you're a lottery team. And like we said, one lottery season probably isn't so bad, especially as long as you have Blake. But there's a risk that if one lottery season you lose some of these guys and some of these veterans, and then all of a sudden you're in the mid lottery next season as well. And then you're back to that cycle of not being very good because you don't have any of the top picks or talent, but also not being horrible because you have Blake Griffin and semi-competent veterans. It's a tough move. I wouldn't know what to do. That's why I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to make in the front office. My heart tells me that the Clippers should absolutely go for it and try to make the playoffs. Obviously not like rush Blake back or anything. Like, he's worth $180 million. They need to take care of him, but do what they can to make it. My brain thinks that it might not be very good to make the playoffs this year, just because I don't think there's really any way they get above seventh. And just playing Golden State or the Rockets would just, I don't know if that would even be fun. Like, it wouldn't be fun, probably. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I love this. I really enjoy this Clippers team, and I like seeing them get wins, but I don't know if a playoff spot is really that beneficial for them.
Yeah, I'm on Team Tank. Like, I am driving the tank. I am inviting people onto the tank. I got some windows in there now so everybody can see the view on the way. I want the Clippers to be competitive and to lose.
Yeah.
I think tanking is fine. I don't want the team morale to be so depressing that we're just getting blown out over and over again. Obviously, those Minnesota games were great. Like, lose those games, lose them by a bit, you know, get chemistry for next year. Blake can take his time coming back. Trade DeAndre for whatever you can get. I am on Team Tank. And it does suck, I agree, for the morale of the fans in Los Angeles. And the Lakers are, you know, Lakers are actually ahead of the Clippers right now in the standings by a win. They have some good games and some bad games. You know, they're both, these teams are going to suck. I think the next 2 weeks, the Clippers are gonna crater a bit. I just, without Blake and with Teodosic just kind of getting his legs and his feet under him over these next couple of weeks, I just think it's going to be a really rough schedule. You know, the Clippers have been losing games. They won this last game, but since Blake got hurt, they've been losing games, and it's just a lot to expect from a team that just doesn't have all their horses. They'll have Milos back, and they'll have almost the whole team back, but Beverly and Griffin are probably the two best players on this team, at least as is right now, as the season has gone. You know, Gallinari is great, and so is DJ, but Beverly was really, really impressive those first few games he was in. So I think the Clippers are going to decide for us very quickly whether or not they're going to be able to make a playoff push. I think these next couple of weeks will decide it, and we'll see from there. And if they can't, you know, I hope that fans stick with them. I hope that Blake comes back and is good enough to end the season, that, you know, the fans that we have won't run away. The fans that we had that jumped on during the Chris Paul era will stick around seeing Blake doing well and having the long game on. But I know that the fans that were here before Chris and before Blake probably have the long game hat on. They're probably thinking, like you and I are thinking with our brains at least, that the Clippers might not be, you know, it might not be the worst thing for them to just kind of get a good pick and to come back next year kind of refreshed. We know that this team healthy will be good. I don't think there's much doubt that it, with Beverly and with Griffin, and you know, whoever else you can surround around them with a decent depth, this is a pretty good team. But it's just tough when you're dealing with injuries. Who knows, next year you could get injured again. These are injury prone players. I understand that as well, but you never know, man. We could have a player, if you could get a player, just like, if you could strike gold with a player like
Donovan,
you
know, Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell, I was about to say, if you can get a player like that, a killer like that, to put alongside Blake, I mean, Why would you think twice just to get swept by the Rockets and to have every freaking Chris Paul fan tell you how crappy you are at life? I don't feel like getting swept. I'll root for Chris. I'll root for non-Warriors, and enjoy my lottery pick. And I'll keep my eyes open for when the draft lottery is, sad as that is. Familiar as that is, I'm totally okay with that this year. As long as they come back next year with a plan, I think they will. I think Ballmer will have a plan. I think Doc will probably be gone. You know, maybe, you know, who knows who can get as a as a coach. Maybe we can get that Grizzlies coach that got fired. That would be nice. Yeah, Fizdale would be a pretty decent addition if we could somehow get him instead of Doc. But we'll see. I feel like there's a lot of moves that will be made over the next year or so. But I definitely feel like the Clippers are more likely to hit the tank than they are to hit the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hunch.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think that the West, it seems close now, but Gobert's back for Utah. Mitchell looks great.
Mm-hmm.
They need to figure out Rubio, but I think they're going to edge out the Clippers until Blake comes back, and they're already a couple games ahead. I just have to think Oklahoma City will get it together at some point.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in the Pelicans, but even if they fall out, that still means Thunder would take their spot. It really depends. Like we've been saying, can the Clippers be close to 500 without Blake? And then when Blake comes back, can they stay healthy? And then can they be decently above 500 for the rest of the season? I think that's not impossible. Like, I don't think that's super unlikely, but I also don't think that's super probable, especially the health part. I'm the only guy on this roster who's basically guaranteed to stay healthy is DeAndre Jordan, and he might be traded. So, the DJ trade, that's actually, there's a good transition to Twitter questions, actually. The first question is from King Cozy at Tyler Schultz 13, which is moving to DJ the right move? Again, it depends on what the Clippers front office and management thinks. If they think that making the playoffs is what they want to do, then absolutely it's the wrong move because they're not going to get players better than DeAndre Jordan. And as much as I like Willie Reed and Montrezl Harrell, they're not DeAndre Jordan. So if the right move, if you want to tank, then yeah, I think trading him is the right move. If you're trying to make the playoffs, then no. In terms of overall assets, it could be a good idea. The Clippers know more about what DJ might want in a contract than we do, and that's a very important bit to this whole situation that fans can't really know. So if they don't trade him, it might be because they think he will resign for considerably less than the max and will take a discount. If they trade him, it could be very probable because he really wants a full max or close to it, and they don't want to pay him that. So is moving him the right move? I don't really know. What do you think? Is moving DJ the right move?
I mean, DJ got a new agent, so at the very least, I think the possibility is there, and he's kind of preparing for it. In my opinion, it's the right move. I'm not sure. You know, obviously, it's a matter of the return they can get. If it's a pretty mediocre return, I guess, you know, you kind of shop around a bit. But I think teams will be looking at him. If we can get, you know, at least either a couple of nice young players or a prospect or lottery pick or two, if we can get a lottery pick and a young player for DJ, I think that's fine. Plus, we can tank. We can fully embrace the tank without DJ. Even in terms of our depth chart, I know Harrell and Reed aren't DJ by any means, but we do have two of them, which is kind of nice. You can kind of just plug one to a starting spot. I think Harrell has already had experience playing starting minutes when Capella was hurt a lot of last year. So, I mean, if any spot would get injured right now and would be able to be replaced by two people behind him, it might be DeAndre, funny enough. So, I definitely think it's a move that the front office needs to think about making, especially, you know, if they're into the idea of maybe accepting that this might be a bit of a lost season. I totally don't fault them for thinking they should go all in and try and make the playoffs. But honestly, at this point, I just think the smarter move is to pretty much go all in with the tank a bit. I remember a couple of years ago, not a couple, but like 6 or 7 years ago, I feel like Steph Curry was purposely kept out of the Warriors roster because they wanted to essentially inflate their pick, the last pick that they would take. I think maybe it was
for Harrison Barnes.
Maybe
Harrison
the Harrison Barnes pick, and like they sucked, but like they ended up getting Harrison Barnes, who for whatever his like problems were, that guy is a pretty like a 20-5 player right now, and was somebody the Clippers were coveting for the longest time. And that's not the dumbest idea right now. And I would very much encourage that sort of idea, especially in the next 2 weeks. If we just completely just crater, then let Blake heal, you know, just let Blake take his time to come back. Trade DJ if we can. Let the losses pile up. It's going to suck for team morale. It's going to suck for the players. A lot of these players are on short contracts. It sucks for them. It really is a huge bummer, but you need to have the long game going when you're just piling up losses after a while. So I do think trading DeAndre is the move to make. I'm going to miss DJ like crazy when he does get traded. I love the guy. I think he's played well these last couple of games. He's not checked out. He's shooting 60% from the line, which nobody is giving him credit for. Drummond, who everybody is giving credit for, is also shooting 60%. So it's a shame that DeAndre isn't getting more credit for improving his free throw shooting. But, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens when you're on a losing team. So I hope DeAndre can get on a contender, maybe the Cavs, maybe the Bucks even, and can have some nice postseason success. At the same time, I think getting assets for him at this point might be the best move that the Clippers can make.
Yeah. So we have three other questions. Two of them are kind of similar, and one was kind of similar to the previous one, so I'll lump them. One of them is actually from my dad, and he says, will they shop DJ? I think the answer is yes, 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 yes. And any chance of a complete blow-up in shopping Blake Griffin? I'd say no. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody – it's a difference between shopping and listening to calls. I don't think there's any way they're shopping him, which means going out and telling teams he's available, we're looking to trade him. If a team comes calling and offers, you know, an amazing package, I think they'd at least listen. And I don't think he's a guy who's completely, absolutely untradeable, like, say, Giannis Antetokounmpo is for the Bucks right now, who's just, I mean, they would laugh if anybody called. But I don't think there's any way they're actually shopping him. They just paid him a ton of money. He was good when he did play this year. And I think, again, it all goes back to retaining that fan base and keeping up at least a little bit with the Lakers, especially as they're surging into a bit of a younger, more popular team right now, not getting completely left behind and irrelevant again. I don't think they're trading Griffin. I'm guessing you agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think they're trading Blake.
Yeah. Okay, so the other two questions are also kind of similar. The first one is from frequent question asker, Mr. Mirrors. CJ Williams has spent a lot of time with the Clippers. Do you think he gets converted? And can you add another two-way guy immediately? Wallace has been playing well down with Agua Caliente. Yes, you can add another two-way guy immediately. The Suns just said that. They converted Mike James to a full-way and got another guy as a two-way, so you can. I don't think CJ Williams gets converted because, and he's played well considering, like, I've been impressed with his just overall competency on both ends, but when T.A. Dosich comes back, the Clippers will have five guards ahead of him. I don't really see any way for keeping him on the roster. Whereas if anybody would get converted, it'd be Jamil Wilson. Cause right now he's the second power forward, behind Gallinari. And Blake Griffin isn't going to come back for a while yet. So I think there actually is a possibility that they convert Wilson. I don't think there's a good chance they convert Williams. But I'd honestly bet on them not converting either. I just think that eventually they'll both, when they hit their time limit, they're going to go down to the G League again. And then later in the season, if there are more injuries and the Clippers need more depth, then I think one of them might get converted. What do you think about the whole conversion thing with Williams or Wilson or one or the other?
So I don't know as much about this. How long can Wilson be on the Clipper roster before we had the issue about converting and all that jazz?
So they are allowed to be up for 45 days, not 45 games, 45 days.
Okay.
And it's already been about a month by my count.
Maybe okay. Okay. More. Yeah, I don't think that we're going to convert either. Wilson, of course, has a better chance because as long as Griffin isn't on the roster, Wilson should be kind of a fixture. But yeah, all the stipulations of this G League team and these two-way rosters are kind of a new thing to me. So as far as I can tell, as long as we send them back for a G League game, can you just bring them right back after that, or do they need to be in the G League for a certain time before we can bring them back onto the Clipper roster?
No, they can go up and down. They just have to basically be up with the Clippers for 45 days. So I'm guessing that's 24 hours after they get recalled as a full day. So they need to be careful. I'm guessing they're already in the 30s. Williams was actually called up before Wilson because the Clippers got hit at guard earlier with Beverly and Teodosic. I think they're both pretty close, which is why I think when Teodosic comes back, Williams will get sent down, and they're going to hang on to Williams Wilson as long as possible. If they hit 45 days and Griffin is relatively close to returning, I'm guessing they're going to send Wilson back down and just live with either extended minutes for Wes Johnson and Gallinari, or playing really small with Thornwell, or just trying Decker again, which I don't think is necessarily a super bad option. But I don't think they convert either one, to be honest. But Wilson, I'd say, definitely has a better shot. And then the final question is, again, very similar from We Going to Rusty Land. Do you think the Clips use the disabled player exception on current rookies, like upgrading Wilson, or would someone like Kilpatrick as another scorer slash ball handler be worth it? So did you catch the thing about them getting the disabled player exception?
No, I didn't. I didn't catch
so
that.
Basically,
damn,
if a guy's out for the season, you can apply for a disabled player exception. I think if they're out for the season and you have an empty roster spot. So they did it with Beverly. So they had $2.5 million that they can spend that won't count against the cap. And basically the original thought was, oh, they're probably just going to use that to convert one of the two-way guys to a minimum, because originally they wouldn't do that because that would push them over the luxury tax, but the exception doesn't count against the luxury tax. I would think more, again, like we were saying, that they would sign somebody else. Kilpatrick was horrible this year for the Nets. I know he was good last year and torched the Clippers that one game.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think it would be him. It's possible they do get somebody. I don't think they would apply for it if they weren't going to use it. Is there any free agent out there right now off the top of your head you think that the Clippers
not,
go after?
Not particularly. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that I want them to go after. I also think they have plenty of players right now, like the depth chart is, you know, all these guys are interesting enough to me. I don't really, you know, of course the 45 day rule is going to come up against some of these G leaguers, these two way guys. But aside from that, you know, I like the rookies. I like, you know, I wouldn't even mind seeing Decker being given a chance again down the road. Like,
I agree.
We have good bench. We have good centers off the bench. We have enough players, you know. When the team gets healthy, the team's always been touted to have a lot of depth. And granted, they won't have Beverly, but they'll have plenty of players. So I'm not terribly concerned about who to pick up. I definitely don't really – I'm not really into Kilpatrick, even though, you know, under the Doc Rhythms algorithm, he might fall under the radar. But I don't think Doc is that silly. So, yeah, nobody really jumps off the page for me right now, especially with how good – our bench is actually playing, so.
Yeah, I don't think they pick up anybody, at least not yet. I'd say that honestly could be a contingency either for further injuries or for if they trade, start making trades, and the roster looks a little bit different. I don't think they will. What else is there? Is there anything else that's really stuck out to you the past two games, or any guy you want to shout out for playing well?
Not particularly. I mean, Lou Williams, of course, he's just been amazing. But that we haven't talked about, not particularly. I think Austin's been great. Austin has been great since Blake has been hurt, so he deserves some credit. He's been really good. He didn't shoot the best game last night, but he was really great in those Minnesota games, both the Minnesota games, and I think he's done a really good job trying to carry the load. You know, he's infuriating but at times, but I think he's done a really good job as being featured in the offense. So shout out to Austin. He's doing well.
Yeah, I think just one thing is as much as I like Thornwell and CJ Williams as well, the Clippers offense really struggles with both guys out there, with either of those guys out there. And I think when Blake Griffin returns, we might see more of Thornwell. But I think until he comes back, Evans might be a better pick to play just because he's more useful offensively. He can handle the ball. He can pass. He had a really nice pass in transition yesterday. He got the ball. He streaked up the court. He penetrated a little, kicked it out to Williams for wide open wing three.
Yeah.
Really nice play. He had a great steal early in the game when also in transition he ran back down and intercepted a pass. He's looked pretty good the past few games after a week or two where he was really struggling on both ends of the court. And also after bricking threes for the first month or so, he's hit three of his last four or five. And he was a solid three-point shooter in college, and his mechanics are pretty good. So if he can continue shooting threes, not at that level, obviously, because that'd be like 75%, but if he can start hitting them at the league average 35 to 40% range, I think he has to play minutes, even with Teodosic back. I think that the lineups with him and Lou Williams are really good offensively, and especially when paired with the spacing that Jamil Wilson provides. I just shout out to Juwan Evans because he's looked really good, and not to take away from Thornwell or Williams because they've both played well, but just the fit with them and the rest of the roster isn't really there right now, I don't think. But yeah, I'm writing my good, bad, and ugly on Tuesday, and I think I'm probably gonna my good. I don't even know if I can talk about Lou Williams just without just throwing in like a million adjectives and just praise everywhere. But shout out to Evans and Wilson, all the Clippers young guys really stepping up. And
yeah,
I do think that for as much as I've dumped on Sam Decker on Twitter, I've always tried to temper that with I do think he's useful in the right role and once he settles in. And I think he really just needs to get his mind right because he just cannot shoot right now. And hopefully if and when Wilson goes back down to the G League and he gets another shot in the rotation, I hope he comes out and has a game where he just makes a couple threes and just turns it around for him. Because I do think he can be a good rotation player. But it's been really bad watching him just clank open shots. And I'm glad Doc just has gone with Wilson, even though he's a two-way player who's played like 50 NBA minutes so far. It's a good call. And I think, again, Doc has been good this year. So,
yeah,
overall, I'm with you. I'm satisfied. The team is competitive and they're fun, and they should only get more fun when Milos comes back. And I'm just excited to see what the rest of the season has in store. I'm looking forward to their game against the Raptors. I do enjoy watching the Raptors play as well. And I'm very curious to see how they guard DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, let's hope Decker is putting in the work right now, especially just like, I don't know, with stuff like the playbook and just general things. This is a time. I remember we all used to get on Lance Stevenson a lot because it just felt like he did no plays. And I think Doc used to make it very vocal that, you know, Stevenson is getting used to the playbook now, and so we're just going to try and play him some more. Of course, Lance never really stuck, but let's hope Decker can kind of get used to the team and just where he fits on the team, because obviously that good dude looks like he should play a role. So I am rooting for that guy, and, you know, I'm trying not to be too hard on him either because, you know, it's tough, and he was used to Houston, so maybe he just needs a little bit of time. But, yeah, anyways, anything else, Rob, from the last couple of games that you want to mention or about the league, about the Celtics? How about the Celtics, right? Jeez.
The Celtics are good. Honestly, though, the Spurs are kind of more crazy to me. They actually played on Saturday on ESPN, I believe. Very good game. The Spurs are just insane. LaMarcus Aldridge, by the way, people are talking about Kyrie as a down-ballot MVP guy. If you're putting in him, you should definitely put in LaMarcus Aldridge because his numbers aren't amazing, but he's averaging 22-8-2 on pretty good efficiency with quite good defense. And I just, when you look up and down the roster, ancient Tony Parker, ancient Manu Ginobili, and I mean both those guys can still play, but they're role players. Rudy Gay, post Achilles surgery, he's good, but he's not great. Ancient Pau Gasol, a bunch of like Bryn Forbes and Brandon Paul, and all these other guys, Davis Bertans, like the only other two guys who are kind of in their primes, just like prime fringe starting to starter level players, are really Patty Mills and Danny Green and maybe Kyle Anderson before he got injured. And like somehow the Spurs are, I don't even know, what are they, like 18-7 or something?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean, a lot of that goes to Pop, but Aldridge has been great just getting the buckets. 19-8. They're 8-2 in the last 10 games. That's just, it's insane. As good as Kyrie Irving has been, Aldridge is putting up roughly comparative stats if you're just looking at how comparative it can be a point guard to a power forward center. And he's playing with so much less talent. Al Horford and Jaylen Brown would be better than anybody else in the Spurs right now. Jason Tatum might be better than anybody else in the Spurs right now, outside of Aldridge. The Spurs are baffling. Every year, I always know they're going to win games, but every year I'm still surprised at how many games they win. I don't understand.
I can't believe how good they are right now, especially after watching the playoffs last year and seeing how Kawhi-centric their offense has become. Yeah, it's incredible. The Spurs are just a machine, and really, there's really no counting them out until you see it on paper, until you see it happening. There's no counting out the Spurs. They're going to be a top three seed every year, and that's just how it goes. As long as they have Pop, it looks like they're going to be a top. Because I can't even say as long as they have Kawhi, but they haven't even had Kawhi. So
yeah. And the other team I think just is our old pals, Luka Mbamute and Chris Paul over in Houston. They've won 9 games in a row since Paul came back. They're 12-1 on the road, 20-4 overall. They have one of the best net ratings, flat plus minus, whatever you want to call it, of all time. Historically good offense, very good defense. I think it's early and it's a long season. I think they could legitimately challenge the Warriors. We'll see come playoff time. The Warriors look like they're coasting a remarkable amount for a team that's 21-6, but Houston looks really good, and Chris Paul is unsurprisingly really good still. And Luka Mbamute is shooting 40% from three on like 3.5 or 4 attempts a game. And it's great watching those guys do well, but it makes me sad. I was watching the Rockets play the Blazers, and Chris Paul just had some vintage Chris Paul moves where even though he's so small, he's so strong, he just like knocked Lillard and McCollum out of the way around the basket to finish. And he's crazy. It's so weird watching him play for another team. But they're very good. Watching them play on offense when they're hot, there's no team that can do anything against them.
Yeah. Now they have Tucker and they have, Mbamute. And if they go small, they can go defensive. They can go just pure offense. Mm-hmm. Ryan Anderson is playing well, even defensively, they're playing well in general. Just kind of a surprising team. Luka Mbamute taking 3 threes a game now, hitting them. It's still at near that 40% clip, 7.5 points a game. He's playing super well. And Chris Paul is still Chris Paul. His demise has been greatly exaggerated, and he's still a great player. They are very good. They have Chris Paul, Luke, and Eric Gordon, but they still have James Harden, so it's really hard for me to completely root for them because I just can't stand watching James Harden. But he's playing great. He's probably the runaway MVP right now, as much as I hate to admit it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that'll more or less do it for the Law of the Gems podcast tonight. As always, the Clippers have been playing pretty well, even though they've been losing games, giving us something to cheer for, which, sometimes we need. I definitely need it in the Midwest right now in residency. I definitely need something to root for when I come home every night. So I'm glad to have the Clippers. Thanks for listening as always, guys. And as always, go Clippers!
Awesome thought about the free ball.